So, we are on Pray, Give, and Go. And I want to talk a bit more about prayer. And so, if you have your Bible, 2 Kings 6, verses 8 to 23, is a story that I find really interesting about praying. And I feel that this is the way that we need to live. Seeing is not believing. Believing is seeing. Okay? We kind of get it backwards. If we can see it, we'll believe it. But faith is not seeing it, but believing it before you see it. And that's a tough game to play. But that's the game that God wants you to play in your life with Him. I don't mean that frivolous, that's the game. But because inside of you, you need to learn that you need to start to believe the way that God has spoken. And then you can live in a fullness of that. And so, believing is seeing. So let's get back, let's go to the story here in 2 Kings chapter 6. Chapter 6 of 2 Kings is really quite interesting. Starts off with the axe head floating and little things like that just kind of boggle your mind. But so here it says, now the king of Syria was at war with Israel. He consulted his advisors and said, invade such and such a place. But then the prophet sent his message to the king of Israel. Make sure you don't pass through this place because Syria is invading there. And so the king of Israel sent a message to the place the prophet had pointed out, warning it to be on guard. So there's a bit of a problem here with the army that wants to attack. And this happened on several occasions, and this made the king of Syria very upset. So he summoned his advisors and said to them, one of us must be helping the king of Israel. Because every time we make a plan, the king of Israel knows that, and he steps out of the way so we can't fulfill our plan. Listen to this. One of his advisors said, no, my master, O king, the prophet Elijah, who lives in Israel, keeps telling the king of Israel the things that you say in your bedroom. Whoa, dude. Like, how about that? Would you feel comfortable knowing that somebody else heard everything that you said? Even the stuff you said in your bedroom? This is a powerful king, and he's going, what? This is one of my advisors that's telling me this? Everything I say goes to Elijah? And then Elijah tells the king of Israel. The king ordered, go find out where he is, and I can send some men to capture him. And the king was told, he's in Dothan. Dothan is the home place of Elijah. That's where Elijah met him. And he left Dothan and went out to become the protege or the understudy of Elijah. And then when Elijah was caught away in the chariot, the flaming chariot, Elijah had asked Elijah if he could have a double portion of his power. Now, we don't have to ask for that anymore because we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. But in those days, the Holy Spirit came upon people. And was like a mantle, came upon. And of course, we know from Elijah's stories that there was a powerful move of God there. And Elijah was his understudy and said, you know what? I love what you got, but I want twice as much. You know what we need to do is we need to say, I love what you have, Jesus, and I want the same power. Do you want that? You can live in the same power that Jesus walked in while he was on the face of the earth. And you know that he did some pretty cool things, don't you? He does them today. Please understand that. He's no different today as he was yesterday or he will be in the future. He's the same. He lives inside of you. You have that power. So they went to Dothan. Horses and chariots, along with a good-sized army. And they arrived during the night and surrounded the city. I love this part. Excuse me. The prophet's attendant got up early in the morning, probably from Elijah's house. I'm going to try to not cough as much as I should. I gets up in the morning, goes out on the porch, and he looked up, and there's an army surrounding him. Horses and chariots. And it says, and he said to Elijah, "What do you think?" Elijah, you got to come out here and take a look at this. Elijah, this is awesome. This is overwhelming. Elijah, we're going to die. The whole city's surrounded. Where are we going to go? How are we going to get out of here? I love this peace. When you walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, when you walk in the knowing that you have all power over all things in the name of Jesus Christ, he says, the servant, "Oh, my master, what shall we do?" He replied, "Don't be afraid." Nike uses that, "Fear not." Fear not. Don't be afraid. Our side outnumbers them. What does the servant see? He only sees the enemy, right? And he's going, "Thanks, Elijah, that's really encouraging. I don't see anything." Right? Have you ever been in that situation where you haven't seen anything and somebody comes alongside and says, "Hey, just hang in there. God's working in this situation," and you're going, "I don't see anything." Sometimes you get ticked with those people that come alongside and say, "Oh, just praise God and hallelujah. You'll get through this. I know it." Yeah, well, you're not in it. Right? That's the thing, is we can be really strong for someone else. But if it's us, we struggle with that. And then it says, Elijah prayed. I don't think he dropped to his knees. I don't think he went, "Oh, Lord, what is happening to us now?" That they didn't have King James then. He didn't. I think he just came out, maybe rested on the handrail around the porch and said, "Oh Lord, just open his eyes so he can see. Open his eyes so he can see." This morning, I want to encourage you to let God open your eyes so you can see what he is doing. He is doing something you can't see. Especially if you feel you're surrounded. Especially if you feel that you're defeated. Especially if you feel you're near death. He said, open his eyes so he can see. And the Lord did. What does that say? God answers prayer. And he opened the servant's eyes and he saw that on the hill, the hills were full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah. As they approached him, Elijah prayed to the Lord. So, I missed a verse there for some time. So in your scriptures, it says that there were twice as many of God's army as there was of the enemies. Somebody got that right handy? They can read it out loud and clear. 2 Kings 6. somebody, please. I don't know, I usually don't miss scriptures. Twice as many army of the King of Kings. surrounding us. So the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he saw the chariots of fire, and then the chariots and the horses. And as they approached him, they were coming towards him. Elijah prayed again to the Lord, and this is what he said: "Strike them with blindness." And the Lord struck them with blindness as Elijah had requested. So now you have this army that's just powerful coming to just take these two people out. A whole army. A bit intimidating. Not to Elijah, and probably not to his servant now, because he could see that behind them there was a bigger army. And Elijah says, "Strike them with blindness." So now you got an army that's blind. Right? They don't know where to go. They don't know what to do. And then Elijah said to them, the army, "This is not the right road or city." Isn't that cool? They're blind. They don't know where, now they don't know what to do. So he just says this out: "Hey, you guys, this isn't the right place. Follow me. And I'll lead you to the man you're looking for." And he didn't lie, because he was leading them, and when they got there, he'd be the man they're looking for. Right? Because you kind of might thought, oh, he's going to lie to him and then bring him into, if you read the story, bring him into captivity. But it wasn't. Elijah didn't lie to them. Elijah didn't lie to them. He said, "You'll see the man you're looking for as soon as God opens your eyes." And so he led them to Samaria, where the king of Israel was. When they had entered Samaria, Elijah said, and that's Elijah said, not Elijah, because Elijah prayed. That's how Elijah did it. He talked with God. That's what we need to do. We need to separate this. Well, I'm praying now and I'm talking now. We need to understand that we talk with God as prayer. Right? Not just those emergency prayers. "God, I'm in a lot of trouble." Right? "And I just really need you to, here's my list of things I need right now. Okay, I'll dump the list and then I gotta go." You don't even listen to him, wait to find out if he says anything about it. That's not prayer. Prayer is just getting together with God and talking. And Elijah was so comfortable with that. We need to become comfortable with that. We have the Holy Spirit. And when we don't know how to pray, what does it say in Romans? That he will pray with utterances that we can't even make noises for. Okay, so you can talk to him. You can let him know about everything that goes on in your life. Everything. And then Elijah said, "Oh Lord, open their eyes so that they can see." That sounds like he said that just a little while ago, doesn't it? To his servant. Can you imagine how comfortable Elijah felt with this? He's got a whole army of blind people. I have this picture. There they are, holding onto their horse so they don't get lost. It'd be like kindergarten. They would. One's holding on maybe to Elijah's belt. This whole army wouldn't have been hilarious to see. Can you imagine what those guys in the army felt like? This is not what we're trained for. We don't know what blind warfare is. I don't know whether they struck the horses blind too. But you can imagine that these guys are just like, "Oh, let's go." And the Lord opened their eyes and they saw that they were in the middle of Samaria. Not a good place. Not a good place for them to be defeated. And you know, when they opened their eyes, guess who they saw? The man they were looking for. Circumstances that changed now. They were the defeated. They were the captives. And when the king of Israel saw them, he said to Elijah, "Should I strike him down, master? Let's do him in." Because that's what they did in the Old Testament. I don't know about you, but when I read the Old Testament, I almost get sick. The horrible things that they did in the name of the Lord. "Should I strike them down, master?" Listen to the reply. "Do not strike them down, You did not capture them with your sword or bow, so what gives you the right to strike them down? That doesn't sound like a like you're going to deal with your enemies. So here you got all these guys, and these guys, there now they got their sight. They're still holding on to their horses. They still have their weapons, but now they're surrounded. And they would hear the king say, "You know what? Let's kill them." Because that's what they came to do. Let's kill them. Get rid of them. They're just a plague. They're an enemy. Elijah said, "No. No, give them some food and water so they can eat and drink and then go back to their master. Invite them for dinner. Have a barbecue. Give them freedom." When you walk in the Spirit, you start to discern what is spiritual warfare and what is physical warfare. These people were able to be redeemed. You understand? You may have a battle going on with someone. That someone isn't your problem. The spirit that is driving that someone is the problem. They're allowing that. We have a lot of horrible stories that come on the news. We have a lot of horrible situations that happen in our world. But that is not, it's not the people. It's the spirits that are driving the people. So we need to understand that. And then we can approach this in a spiritual warfare manner. Elijah knew that. He said, it's not this army. We've got armies bigger than that. It's these people who are led, who are spirit-led by an enemy. And we need to defeat the enemy. And you know what? It says that, he said, let's throw a banquet for them. Well, what would you think about that? You come to do this killing, you go blind, you find yourself captured, and then they're going to throw a banquet for you. So I threw a big banquet for them, they ate and drank. Then after he said, they sent them back to their master. And after that, there was no Syrian raiding parties again to invade the land of Israel. God humiliated them. They were a strong army. I'll tell you something. When the enemy's defeated, he's humiliated. And that's what Jesus did on the cross. If you look at the book of Colossians, it says, and on the cross he humiliated them. He humiliated the enemy. Not the people that nailed him to the cross. Not the Romans. He humiliated the devil and all the demons that were working in that team. He did that for us. He said, these things you will do and greater. He said that this is the way I want you to live. I want you to be able to say, open their eyes, God, because I can see what you're doing. You might need your eyes open somewhere today. A couple weeks ago, we talked about the open heaven. Stephen saw it. Elijah saw it. Elijah saw it. Peter saw it. Jesus saw it. Stephen saw it. Paul and many others saw this realm. They saw the heavens open. We have a lot of preaching that goes on in this area. I'm not so caught up in it, but I like the concept that we can see into the heavens because we are spiritual. We have the ability to see what God is doing. That's what Elijah saw. He saw into the heavens. He saw the army of God around him. You have a protective army around about you. You are more than conquerors. More than conquerors. Not just conquerors, but more than. How many believe that? Do you? How many of you live like that? It's hard. It's hard to live like that. But it's what God wants you to do. He wants you to, these things that keep you up at night, these things that scare the stuffing out of you, the things that you only can see the physical part, God is saying, wait, ask me to open your eyes so that you can say, open their eyes. Because once you can see in the spirit realm, you will never fear again. You understand? You will never fear again. I love that Jesus shows us things. God shows us things. Acts chapter 2, excuse me, verse 4, or 1 to 4, Acts 2, 1 to 4. And when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. Suddenly the sound, so you could hear it, of a violent, mighty wind came blowing through and filled the heavens, and from heaven, and filled the entire house where they were sitting. This would have been cool. Somebody said, and I've seen a video of where it came through a home church, an underground church in China, and you could hear something like a locomotive coming by. Just wild. But it wasn't enough to hear. And tongues spreading out like a fire appeared to them. Why would that be of importance? Well, all of them knew about the deliverance from Israel, or from Egypt, and how God went before them in the day as a pillar of cloud, and how he went after in the evening as a pillar of fire. There's power in fire. It'll consume everything in sight if it's given a chance. And so there's this mighty rushing wind came in, and then there was this tongues of fire that appeared and came to rest on each one of them. He wants the Holy Spirit to come upon you. You know, we say, okay, well, you should speak in tongues. Maybe that's the rushing wind. That's the noisy part. There also should be a sight part. You should be able to see the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You should be able to see the power of the Holy Spirit. It should be like fire in a situation. If it's dark, it should light it up. If it needs to be removed, it should consume it. It's the Holy Spirit in your life. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues and other languages as the Spirit enabled them. The Holy Spirit is so critical today, people. You need to have the Holy Spirit. You need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, or baptized with the Holy Spirit, or baptized by the Holy Spirit. We beat this thing to death. I don't know what it is all about, but I tell you, what you need is the Holy Spirit in your life. Okay, yes, I know you have it when you get saved. You have the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. But how much of the Holy Spirit, how much of you does the Holy Spirit have? So when you pray that prayer, baptize me in the Holy Spirit, it's that you get, he gets all of you then, right? And then you start seeing like Elijah. You start seeing like Elijah. You start seeing like Jesus. You start seeing like Paul, Peter. You start seeing visions, and you'll start dreaming dreams, and you'll start seeing things that are not seen by anybody else. That's the spirit realm that we live in. We live in that today. All of us do. That know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I love this. I love when God shows me something that's not seen. And it takes a lot of guts, takes a lot of jam, a lot of courage to actually say to somebody, this is what God showed me. This is what God showed me. And they go, I don't see that. So then all of a sudden that nullifies what God showed you? No. God showed you that, you need to stand on that. You need to walk in that. Because he's going to do these things and greater through you. Let's continue here and let's look at Lazarus. John chapter 11, verses 23 to 27. Jesus replied, your brother will come back to life again. Martha said, I know he'll come back to life again in the resurrection in the last day. So the story is that Jesus was told that Lazarus, whom he loved, was sick. And so Jesus stayed 4 more days What do you think of that? Like when you pray, you want it now, right? I mean, what is he doing? What took him 4 days? Why did he have to wait 4 days? I don't want to wait 4 days for my answers. I don't know about you. 4 minutes is pretty long. It is. I remember one time saying, God, you didn't answer my prayer. I know it's a long weekend. I know you're busy, but you didn't answer my prayer yet. I let it go to you on Friday. Come on. Come on, give me an answer. You probably don't do that. I did. And he still didn't give me the answer until like a day and a half later. And it was an answer I couldn't have figured out and changed our lives. It's his timing. I get a little frustrated because he moves pretty slow. I do. He's been around a long time, so he's not in a rush for anything, right? There's like, we're kind of in a, well, what's your bucket list? Because you're going to die. That's it. You know, that's what we think about. I got to get some stuff done. What about today? Well, I got all these things to do. And then I got to have some sleep so I can have some strength. And then I got to go into tomorrow. And I got a whole schedule. I got a whole schedule full of stuff to do next week. So I need some answers now. God, I've been around from the beginning. I'll be around at the end. And I have a plan for your life. And it's not your plan. This is what I'm learning. It's not my plan. I have some good plans for him. You know what? If he would listen to my plans, he'd have more time for you. Because I've got these great ideas that would bring him glory. Bless me a bit too. Quite a bit, really. But he's not interested in that because he has a plan for me, and I need to be aware of what his plan is for me so that I can follow with him. That's the way Elijah lived. That's the way Elijah lived. That's the way Jesus lived. That's the way Peter lived. So Jesus replied to Mary and Martha because they said, hey, look, you're waiting too long, and now my brother's dead. Thanks a lot, bud. Now, you wouldn't say that to Jesus, would you? Thanks a lot, bud. You could have been here. You could have stopped this. We wouldn't have this grieving process. Jesus, what is wrong with you? That's kind of what comes out in this conversation. Jesus replied, your brother will come back to life again. Yeah, I know that. I know that he'll come back to life again in the resurrection at the last day. In other words, all of us will. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and life. The one who believes in me will live even if he dies, and the one who lives and believes in me will live, will never die. And then he said, do you believe this? And I'm asking you the same thing. Do you believe this? Do you believe it? That inside of you lives the Holy Spirit, who is not limited in anything, who lives in a different realm than we do, but has given us insight into that realm. Do you believe? It's very simple. Do you believe? She said, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Son of Christ. Those are the right answers, right? You heard the story about the picture of the little kids in Sunday school. And Sunday school teacher saying, and this is an old story, so you probably heard it. And there's a picture of a squirrel there. And so she says, okay, what's the picture of? Nobody says anything. Come on, it's really easy, come on. Nobody says anything. And so she's finally chooses one of the young girls, maybe 4 years old, and she says, come on, Sally, what's in the picture? And Sally kind of nervously goes, I know the answer is Jesus, but it looks a lot like a squirrel to me. You know, we always have the word Jesus, that's the answer for everything. He is the answer for everything. But, and that's just what Martha is doing right now. She said, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who comes into the world, and on. He's gonna be resurrected with you because you're the resurrection. And those are all the right answers. Jesus is not going there. He's not going there with you this morning. He's going to say, can you believe this now? Jesus responded, Didn't I tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. He got everybody out there because he wanted you to see. You hear me? He wanted you to see. He said to the servant Elijah, open his eyes. Said to the army, Lord, blind their eyes. Then open their eyes. And then Jesus said, look, let's get out to the graveside. Let's open the tomb. So they rolled the stone away. And Jesus looked upward and said, Jesus looked upward and he prayed, because he would always talk with God like he talked with anyone else. You understand that? He just talked with God. What do you need to talk with God today about? What do you need to ask God to open your eyes to? What just seems to be surrounding you? And so Jesus says this, Father, thank you that you have listened to me. You believe that Jesus always listens, God the Father always listens to you? It's right there. Jesus said, in front of this whole crowd, Lazarus is still dead. It's probably not a nice place to be near the mouth of that cave, that tomb. It's a stinky place to be. And he goes, I know that you always listen to me. So he's having this conversation, same kind of conversation that Elijah had with God. It was like, you need to open their eyes, God, so that they can see. He said, I say this for the sake of the crowd standing here, that they may believe. When he had said this, because nothing had happened then. People, imagine, can you imagine? Like I do, I get right into the, I would be near, I know it wouldn't be very good, I'd be like this. I want to go to the front of the cave, but I want to never smell here. There would have, honestly, you think that it was just real sterile and, well, we're all waiting for the corpse to come out that's been there for 4 days. Come on, it would have been horrible, but I wouldn't want to be there. Do you want to be there? Because Jesus, after he talked with his father, he talked to the dead. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. And he came right out. Because they had him all wound up. They had him all tied up because that was it. He had all sorts of sticky stuff on him. Embalming, that's what they did. So he would have been like, and he would have been like those guys in the army. Wonder where he went. Because he couldn't see. He was all wrapped in a shroud. But he came out. The one who had died came out. His hands and feet were tied up with strips of cloth and a cloth wrapped around his face. So he was blind. So this is so important. Jesus said, open his eyes. You see that? Unwrap him. Open his eyes. And let him go. Open his eyes. He could have got Lazarus out in a three-piece suit. I mean, he could do anything, right? He could do anything. But he sent him out in his grave clothes because he was still blind, and the people needed to know that they can open the eyes of those who cannot see by the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you know that that's you? Do you know that you can open the eyes of those who are blind to what's going on? God can open your eyes to the things that are blind in your life. The things that are huge, the things that are dark, the things that are scary. He wants us to be a part of this. Because he said, unwrap them. Unwrap them. All of us. You might not think you're spiritual enough to unwrap someone. Well, you are. Because it's not you that does it anyway. It's not me, Super Jim. It's the Holy Spirit inside of me and my obedience to let him do that. Open our eyes, Lord, so that we can see. Open their eyes, Lord, so they can see. Have the worship team come back up. I don't know where you're at this morning, but I really sense this morning, there's, what's that second song that you sang in the second set? God with us? Can we do that one again? And the reason I want to do God with us is because of the lyrics are exactly what I talked about. God with us. He's the one that's with us. And so when you sing this, when we're going to just maybe get you to stand here in a minute, we're going to sing this, but I want you to look at the lyrics and I want you to just listen to them like a sermon, because that's what they are, a musical sermon. Touching your heart. And then I want to encourage you that if you have something that is causing you to be fearful, causing you to be held back, where you just can only see the enemy work, then you need to say, God, open my eyes. Open my eyes so that I can see. Open my eyes. And right now, I'm going to pray that God will open your eyes. That he'll open your eyes in the whole area of physical healing, of financial success. And success is just having enough to live on and the rest to give away. Marital relationships, all sorts of things that are going on that are bigger than you and all you can see is them. This morning, and I want you to stand right now if you will. We have the pastors and the prayer team, board members, and those who come up front to pray with others. If you would come up and just make your way up here right now. And as we sing this, I want you to think about these words. And then I want you to come and have God open your eyes, spiritually, not mine. I can't do it for you. Elijah did it through the Holy Spirit for his servant. These people here can walk you through to see the bigger picture. You wanna see that before you go out into that sunshine today. You wanna see the bigger picture. You don't want to go home and be in the dark. You don't want to go home and be in fear. You don't want to go home being defeated. The enemy's out to take you down. I'll tell you that. He's been beating on me for a while. I ain't gonna let him. I am not going to let him, because he's a defeated foe. Do you hear me? He is defeated. And we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. So I want you to come. I want you to come as we sing this and just think about these lyrics and Chantal, if you